Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the PBS Network, and we're broadcasting live from the Seti Ranch, and I have with me up here on the stage Winston Srout, the Honorable Winston Srout, and he's famous for Solutions in Commerce and all kinds of workshops and DVDs and everything about becoming sovereign, I'd say, or cleaning up your commercial karma and things of that nature, but he wears so many hats, I don't even know where to start with so many different programs that he's doing. But what I want to do is talk about just a few little news items first, then we'll bring Winston on to talk about what his latest adventure is here at the ranch. And so one of the things I want to talk about, UFO just destroyed a weaponized Israeli satellite before they launched it. It was quite interesting, but a UFO was hovering right over the satellite and popped it out. It's funny because just a couple days ago, I was really asking the UFOs to start knocking out some of these satellites that are targeting people. You know, they're frequency targeting the light workers and some of the other nonsense and the psychotronic weapons. And so I get this on the news today that they took out this Israeli satellite. I imagine it'd probably take out a few more up there we're not going to hear about. But there's been a lot of things happening in space. Back on the Earth, they had a 5.6 quake that hit Oklahoma, and they're saying it's a direct result of fracking. So fracking is just pure insanity. Without water, we're toast. I mean, we're going to live a couple days without water. So bottom line is keep poisoning the water. You know, that's a definite depopulation program. So they need to start reevaluating that program. Even when we don't need the gas, you know, we have other alternative energy. So the whole thing's a joke, a very bad joke. There's a major, actually 6.7 hit New Guinea, and also a 7-point quake just hit New Zealand as well. And a lot of that's due to a major coronal hole that's opening up and directed straight towards the Earth. So there's a lot of solar energy coming in. We've got a hurricane hitting Florida. South Carolina said no to the Zika spraying, and because it's been destroying the pollinators and they're losing billions of dollars in food, you know, crops and things like that because of this. So it's just more insanity. The Zika actually just shuts your brain down. And so it's, you know, you've got the fluoride, we've got the Zika, we've got the aspartame, and they just don't stop, you know, with the, you know, mercury and the inoculations and the Nogalese now and everything else they're putting in there. It's just an assault on humanity, and we need to pay attention to that one. I want to talk a little bit, too, about I've been getting a lot of stuff, a lot of emails from people, and it's a lot of people within the New Age community. And I don't want to focus a lot on that, but, you know, there's an old saying, you know, enlightenment means to be enlightened of or in knowledge of both sides of the coin, not just one side. So they're saying, oh, you're creating fear-born porn by talking about this and this and this and this. And I just said, well, you're the one in fear because you can't talk about it. You can't look at it. And so who's in fear? You know, I'm practicing loving detachment and informing people so they can make wise decisions and kind of avoid some of the things that are on the books. So anyway, to you, I think you need to look at the other side of the coin and, you know, pay attention, you know, because everything isn't love and light. You know, there's some darkness there, too, and we need to pay attention to the darkness out there and our own dark side as well. But don't fall for that Stanford research stuff. You know, they put out a lot of the New Age programs where you're not supposed to look at anything dark or evil because it's within you and you're a bad doobie if you look at it or acknowledge it. And that was actually started in Stanford Research Institute. So that's a program to get people to not look at what the dark hearts are doing, you know. So, you know, they'll say, you're lowering my frequency, you're lowering my vibration. Don't talk about that stuff. Well, we need to pay attention to this stuff because your frequency might be 6 feet under if you don't start paying. It'll be about that low, you know, if you don't pay attention to what's going on. There's just so many things going on there. I want to go in. I just want to talk about a few things. But, you know, the UFO destroying the weaponized Israeli satellite made my day when I saw that. So anyway, hopefully we'll step in. There's a lot of other changes happening, which I really want to talk about on the show rather than just give them a quick news flash. And some of those changes are being made, you know, on the highest levels. And both Winston and I have been talking to people on the highest levels and getting information and also receiving a lot of crazy information and disinformation and kind of navigating through all this information. And luckily, because we do have connections on some of the highest levels we can weed through a lot of the nonsense out there and figure out what is true and what is actually unfolding, and especially with the economy and the, you know, the condition of the planet right now. So with any further ado, I want to turn the mic over to Winston and have him kind of talk about what he's up to now, what's important messages for us, you know, that we need to know about now, and especially concerning the global currency and things of that nature. So, Winston, take it away.
Okay. Let me go back and comment on the information that has been circulating around. If you're waging some kind of a war, or you have some kind of major operation, you certainly do not want the opposition to know what your moves are going to be. And if you go back to World War II, when the Allied forces were preparing to invade the Europe continent, I mean, they had to cross across the water, and they had to land on the beach, and they had to do all these kinds of things. And then, so the question was, you know, where should they land at? You know, what would be the most strategic point to get to? And what kind of opposition would they meet? And so during that period of time, they did a lot of disinformation. They were feeding double agents goofy information. They were putting up all kinds of fake armies, fake tanks, fake barracks, because they knew the Germans were flying over and looking down. And so they had to give the appearance that would perhaps fool the enemy into believing that they were going to land at a certain point. Because if the enemy knew where they were coming, they would simply be prepared for them and destroy them, and there'd be a lot of loss of lives. So to trick the enemy, they sent out a lot of disinformation. They set up a lot of things to make the enemy think things were going a different way. And by doing so, they saved a lot of lives, and they eventually had the victory. So when you get down to our present circumstance with the efforts that are being made, let's just call them the white hats, just for something to call them. And we have the efforts they're making, but you know, certainly when the effort was first started, the cabals, or what you call the dark hats, or whatever you want to call them, bad guys, there was a lot of power, and there was a lot of opposition at that time. So in consequence of that, they adopted the same program that had been adopted by the Allied forces during World War II, which was simply not to give away, you know, what their real plan was, not to give away their position and all these kind of things. Otherwise, you know, the battle could be lost, or there could be a greater number of casualties. The effort would have to be stepped up. So what I'm saying is that at least a good part of the disinformation that was put onto the internet was put on there on purpose by the white hats. And so people would go on the internet, and they'd read this or that, you know, and all these kind of things. And then when it didn't happen, you know, they would automatically be mad or disgusted or whatever, because what they had seen on the internet simply didn't happen. But there was a reason why it did not happen. Again, there was a great deal of opposition, and literally, there has been a war raging. I'm talking about a shooting war. I mean, it came right down to gun battles, special forces getting after some of them. Certainly the threat of nuclear devices and so forth, even though the threats were there, they would not be accomplished simply because the ETs would not allow it. But in any event, there was real danger, not only to the operation, but there were also a lot of danger to basically what you call the civilian population. So they had to be very, very careful. And so, you know, little by little, they simply ground it down until, you know, the latest reports seem to indicate that the what we call the cabal has been completely neutralized. If that is so, that's a good thing. But again, unless you have eyes on, you really don't know. But putting logic, you know, common sense, reason, and logic toward it, then you start to see it. So the thing that has been holding up many of the programs, which have been anticipated and prepared for, it appears at this point that they should be able to roll forward more smoothly and in a timely manner. And even though I'm not going to stick my neck out and say, well, you know, this is when it's going to happen, you know, it's going to happen the day after tomorrow or Tuesday or Thursday or whatever, no, I'm not willing to say that because, again, I'm not one of the planners. I'm not one of the controllers. I am an observer who gets, you know, some information, which I'm willing to share and so forth. And then some of the other stuff we simply have to speculate on based on common sense, you know, and logic. But with all that said, at this point in history, it appears that things are moving forward much more smoothly. And the key factor that's involved in this major change has to do with money, unfortunately. Certainly, we as people, as a planet, so forth, are trying to work at a more spiritual level. But still, we've been strapped down with this money issue because the majority of the planet are actually operating at that level of thought. So what was important to get done, certainly, was to break the hold that the Federal Reserve and the Federal Reserve notes have had on the whole planet. Now, the United States, you know, for the longest time, was the only country that did not have its own national currency. We were totally dependent upon Federal Reserve notes as our form of usable currency here in the United States, which caused no end of problems. It introduced many things into our legal system, for instance, and into our concepts and so forth, because every time we used a Federal Reserve note for any kind of transaction, you know, where you're out here buying a house or Tootsie Rolls, whatever, you know, that the concept and the hooks that were a part of the Federal Reserve notes and the use of them, it caused immeasurable problems. So obviously then, if we're going to move into a new paradigm in the country, perhaps if we're talking about a new republic, an interim republic, and some of these concepts, the obvious issue which had to be resolved was in regards to the Federal Reserve notes. So in preparation for this, this new military interim government went to work on this way back in about January of 2015 because they realized that in order to remove the old United States Incorporated, that you know, the money would certainly be an issue. Now, a lot of people don't know, maybe some of your listeners, James, don't realize that the functioning government that was running the United States in a fictional capacity as a shadow government was actually a corporation. Some, perhaps, your listeners have seen the movie by Mr. Russo called Freedom to Fascism. And so those who have seen that movie, you know, obviously are aware that we have been operating as a fascist government now for a very long time. And so that's a deplorable situation, the one of which needed to be corrected. And so the United States Incorporated, which is simply a Puerto Rican maritime corporation, has, in fact, for the last number of years, you know, been running the function of government. And they were operating under what's called a Chapter 11 reorganizational bankruptcy. I mean, Mr. Traffic Handy got up in front of Congress and put it on the record. He was just saying that some of the others of us already knew. And so we were operating this Chapter 11, which caused, again, just unmeasurable problems with the population, with our commerce and so forth. So in consequence of that, what could be done? Well, as it turned out, they were doing, it got to a certain point where they were doing very poorly operating as the debtor in possession in this Chapter 11. So I can't remember the exact date, but at some point, perhaps 2 or 2.5 years ago, the United States Incorporated, running the Chapter 11, actually were thrown into receivership. So that's a pretty serious thing, because now they're in danger of getting kicked out of the Chapter 11. And so this corporation, had to really scratch around to see if they couldn't put things together so they could stay within the bankruptcy, because it was the Chapter 11 bankruptcy that they were using to control the people, you see. So anyway, they kind of got into a few binds and whatnot, so they were put into a receivership. Actually, the receiver of the bankruptcy was from the Queen's Council in Switzerland. And I can't remember who the trustee was exactly. So they were put on, basically they were put on probation with this receiver. And so it got to the point that they had to come up with $440 billion payment so that they can maintain their position in the Chapter 11. And they did not come up with that sum to stay in the bankruptcy. So on May the 2nd of 2016, they went into default, which was the end of the Puerto Rican corporation known as the United States Incorporated, or whatever they call it. All right, so now we have a real opportunity for the interim military government to come in and start to function without opposition. But in any event, back in January of 2015, the military government, and by the way, this is not a coup, folks. This is not a military coup. This is an operation to save the country. And so they started to operate January 2015, and then they ran into certain roadblocks, such as in order to produce a usable currency under the Basel agreements, they would have to have substance backing for the currency, which the new government did not have. And so they have managed, with the help of the Chinese, to obtain that gold backing. And so the first thing that they created was what we call government-level money, which is referred to as Treasury Reserve Notes. And those are obviously a substantial kind of currency, because they began trading on those on the foreign markets way back in the summer of 2015, right up to the present time. But that, again, that's government-level money. And so what happens to the people on the street? So during that period of time, or up till here, probably today, or September the 1st, and I'm not going to say just yet, but in any event, the preparation for the use for people on the street, so to speak, they had created United States notes, much similar to the United States notes that John F. Kennedy had tried to introduce in 1963, which ended up with him getting a bullet to the head. So the real question is when do we get these United States notes out for general usage to replace the Federal Reserve notes that we have to get rid of? They're getting rid of anyway. They're not recognized anywhere on the planet anymore anyway, with the Chinese yuan taking the lead as the global reserve currency. So it's obvious that the Federal Reserve notes were slowly dying because simply nobody wanted to deal in them. So then the question gets to be, what about the people? I mean, you're talking about all these international tradings and all these kind of things, the Treasury Reserve notes. Okay, so how does that affect, the people on the street? And so it is essential that for a smooth transition, as we move toward the concept of a republic type of government, that this money will come out, because if the people have no confidence in what's being done, then it's a sure formula for failure. So what would convince the people that what was being done with all this manipulation in government, what would give them any measure of confidence in that change? And the confidence would be generated with a viable, usable currency. In other words, you know, can I go to the store and buy what I need for my family? And if I can't, then I'm not going to support what's being done. If I can have a currency that I can use that would be compatible with what I used to do, as I suppose, with the old currency, then all of a sudden we have a smooth transition, and the people will not oppose the efforts that are being made by these different ones to create this new government. So essential to all these changes, again, was the introduction on the street, in the banks, in the stores, of United States notes. And so those things are here. We're not talking about something going to happen in the future. They're here now. Now we're going into a holiday weekend. Monday's a holiday, be a banking holiday, and so forth. So look for it. Look for it next week. And so the real test for the people is that when they go to the bank or to the ATM machine with their debit card or whatever, and all of a sudden the ATM machine brings out a new currency, that will be the proof in the pudding, and that will give the people the confidence they need to support the efforts that are being made in this change of government. So that's it in a nutshell.
Thank you, Winston, for summing that up. I know Winston and I are both, we kept monitoring the internet. We'd see these stories come out, you know, and, you know, the white dragon this, the red dragon that, the gold dragon this, and there's a lot of things I couldn't talk about at the time because I was talking to some of the top people in these dragon families, and they were saying, nope, not yet, not yet, it's not done yet. But other people were saying, no, it's done, it's all done, you know, and you know, your check's in the mail and things like that, your package is in the mail. And so it was kind of interesting. I go, why are these people saying this? And I think Winston covered that because they might have been trying to give out disinformation to confuse the other side. But in doing that, when they released that other information, it kind of smoked out a lot of people that they had to deal with. And so they found out where all the blocks were and all the people involved in blocking this from happening. And what's happening is amazing. Everybody has different names for it. And some people call them redemption funds, things like that. But the treasury note coming out is going to be backed by gold. And you know, it's going to be a real solid currency. And I don't know where the BRICS, maybe Winston has some idea on that, but I know the BRICS union, I think it's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and some of the South American, South African states are all involved in this. They all got together, created their own World Bank, basically, and just kind of took the wind out of the sail of the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve is toast right now. It's bankrupt. It can't even continue in its process. I don't know if I'm using the right words for that, but it's really a good thing because it's going to free up the funds and the money for the people. And when the people realize that this program we've been involved with, the Federal Reserve notes and things like that, and where their tax money's really been going, you know, most of it's been going to the Pope and to the Queen and things like that. When these lines are cut and the money starts going back to the people and starts being used, you know, within the public sector, we're going to go into abundance. You know, it's going to be, an amazing shift in consciousness and energy and assets as well. And we're in the process of doing that right now. But a lot of the top of the dragon families were waiting for certain things to happen because they didn't want to release these funds because the same people would have gotten hold of them. So, you know, we would have the Bushes, the Clintons, and all these other people just hijacking everything. And you know, we can't allow that to be happening. But anyway, so that's the story. So they've been playing these games, back and forth games, and you know, smoking out the blocks and the people that are working for the wrong side, you know, and on the other side of the fence. And it's been, you know, a major kind of cat and mouse game, and so most of that's been cleaned out. They've cleaned out the blocks, and they've stepped into power now, and things are going to be going forward. And I know the higher dimensional beings are totally behind this, and so this is kind of like the ground manifestation of what's happening on actually higher levels. So the masters, the higher dimensional beings, they're all involved in getting rid of this old Archon network, this old monetary system, whatever you want to call it, taking this down and bringing in a whole new system that's more aligned with fifth dimensional consciousness, which eventually we're not going to need money. So, you know, I tell people, imagine if you had a replicator, you could make anything you wanted. I mean, all your needs are done right there. What do you need money for? If you had a beam ship, you know, with free energy that can jump dimensions, there's your energy needs are taken care of, your transportation needs are taken care of, your food, your clothing, all your other needs are being taken care of. I mean, what else is there? And this technology exists today, and that's where we're moving towards. But it's hard for people to understand that, because when I tell people, you know, you can run your cars on water, that technology is here today, people kind of go, no, you're kidding. And I said, yeah, you know what else? There's also technology out there where you don't need fuel at all. And they go, oh, no way. You know, that would be odd if it was really out there. And I said, well, the people that have been enslaving you through dependency are not going to allow that to happen. But now they're being taken down. And so all this energy is going to come out. And I said, so now when you think about, you could have a vehicle without tires, you know, and that really throws them off, you know. So they go, wait a second, you know. And I said, yeah, you could go out to your little beam ship, jump in it, and say, you know, I'm going to have breakfast in Australia, lunch in Japan, you know, and that's where things can evolve too. But again, we have to evolve to that level so we can have that kind of technology. But that's the possibility I'd like to plant in people's minds. That's what's available here today. We have that technology, and if you want to restore, if you want to restore the job market and everything else, I mean, just bringing this technology out and building this technology alone, you know, would put everybody back to work and break that old program where you have to, you know, work, you know, with your nose to the grindstone just to keep your head above water. You know, people will be doing jobs they really want to do. And I want to say one more thing about that. In the Palladian societies, what they do is they take their kids, you know, between 8 and 10, they take them up on the beam ships, they power them up, and they turn them into a light. So it's like a near-death experience. And so they're totally one with the source, or one with the light, whatever you want to call it. And then they bring them back, and they are very educated as far as the needs of that kid and its sole purpose, its unique sole purpose. And so they give the kid everything it needs to evolve to reach its highest potential. And that kid knows he's one with all life and one with the community. And when they did that, their civilization took a quantum leap, you know, in evolution. And that's where we need to go with our schooling and things like that, our educational things. We need to quit making zombie, you know, robots, you know, that are going to go out and buy the latest nonsense, you know, the latest games and toys and things like that, and shift our energies back into that way of life and move in that direction. But that is the potential, and there is some massive, massive energy behind this on the highest levels coming in, and people on the ground that are in control of these funds are moving in that direction too as well. So it's going to get pretty interesting in the days to come, and we need to wrap our heads around what's possible and help, you know, anchor that in and help ground that new energy and the new potentials. So I know Winston's probably got a few comments on there. So
As you were speaking there, James, there's something that occurred to me. And that is that many of the people who are being exposed to some of these possibilities and concepts and so forth are trying to reason through the thought processes using third dimensional thinking. And so it would be wise for everyone who considers these things that are going on to consider these things using fifth dimensional logic and reasoning, which is considerably different than the way we look at things in the third dimension. So as you consider the possibilities, as you consider the things that you actually see happening, as you consider the things that are projected to happen, a better understanding of what's going on would be accomplished by looking at these things from a fifth dimensional perspective. Now, there's a term that's very popular now. It's called loving detachment. This has to do with what Einstein is reported to have said, that you can't fix a problem using the same tools that caused the problem. And so if you're trying to resolve some of these things in your mind, you're trying to reason through them using the third dimensional logic, then perhaps you'll become very, very confused. You know, there's kind of an old... It's been around a long time, but the definition of insanity, and that is doing the same thing the same way and expecting a different result. Well, see, this is exactly what Einstein was talking about. And so then when you start to talk about detachment, to remove yourself from the hooks that are caused by emotional attachment, and that is, if you allow yourself to be drawn into the drama, then you got hooked into it. And so to resolve some of these problems, to take a look at things in a better form of logic, you need to back away from the problem and look at it. And so the best way, in my estimation, is to learn or to put yourself in a more spiritual a frame of mind, and then go back and try to analyze all these things that are causing so much confusion in people's minds and so forth. Look at them from a different perspective and see if it doesn't make a little bit more sense to you. Because again, when you try to analyze what's happening, knowing that all these things are being orchestrated by higher dimensional entities. And so that's why people are having so much time, such a hard time trying to make sense out of this. And this is why they become frustrated. For instance, you know, we kind of joke about, things. And so we say, well, we talk to an ascended master, we talk to a higher level extraterrestrial, whatever, and say, well, when's this going to happen? And they routinely say, well, soon. And so we say, soon. And so we automatically think, well, that means tomorrow. That means the next day or something like that. But from their point of view, soon means, more than 10 minutes. And so people become frustrated because they're trying to they're trying to analyze answers that come, thought processes that come, and so forth, from a lower dimension, and then you become frustrated because, logically you can't get there, you can't get to the solution from where you started from. It's not possible. And so it's important for everybody to raise their vibrational frequencies, to pray and meditate if necessary and so forth, until they can get into the point where their logic will facilitate what is really happening. So I think... that perhaps might be a good clue. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. The way they explained it to me in the simplest way I can explain it, it's all about frequency. And we need to be frequency specific to where the Earth is evolving to. And she is evolving. She's going into the next phase. And she's moving into what the Mayans call unity consciousness, or the ninth wave, that is coming in very strong right now. So everything that doesn't resonate with unity consciousness and basically universal law, which is, universal peace, brother, sisterly love, individual freedom and prosperity for everybody, that's all in that that wave of energy that's coming through is going to be turned upside down. And so the tyrants have a very heavy frequency to them. They're not going to be making it through this shift. Neither are their empires. And they're, because again, everything is energy. Everything is consciousness and energy. And that's changing. If there's no support system energetically for these systems, they collapse. They fall apart. And so we need to start thinking of things more in frequency and raising our frequencies. So we are frequency specific to the Earth as she goes through her evolution, and that so we can all make this shift, because, you know, the shift is really hitting the fan right now. And so we have to get on board with this. There's no getting away from it.
No more puns.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You can't go to Mars. You're not going to go to Alpha Centauri. You're not going to go to the moon to get away from this. This is a huge event that's happening. It's the whole Milky Way and beyond that this energy is coming in. So this energy is actually measurable. The scientists know about it. We're getting slammed by cosmic rays. The gamma rays are off the scale that are hitting the Earth right now. We're moving into a highly energized place in space, and it's part of a natural evolutionary process. And so the only thing we can do is to try to raise our frequencies and to adjust to this process. And, you know, like they say, resistance is futile, you know, for this, because it's, you can't go up against this, you know. It's like standing in front of a tidal wave, you know, and putting your hands up saying stop, you know. You know, nature loves you, but she's not going to stop. You know, she's going to keep going forward. So we need to pay attention, you know, to who we are, where we are, where we're living, where we get our food from, where our water's coming from. Everything on every level, the physical level, where our thoughts are. We need to think about how many negative thoughts we're holding on to during the day. You know, how many positive thoughts. You know, thought has frequency. We need to look at all of this. And it doesn't mean you can't observe things that are going on. But again, you have to observe them with loving detachment. You can't get caught up in the drama, because then your frequency is right in there with the tyranny, you know. And so we are going into a huge shift, and again, it's all about frequency. And how do you raise your frequency? Basically, the highest frequency thoughts are love and joy and bliss and service to others. Basically, that's the highest frequency thoughts. The more we align ourselves with those energies, the higher our frequency. And the more we let go of the baggage, which is all the old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences, even past life experiences, the more, as soon as we let go of that baggage, our frequency goes way up, you know. So, I mean, that's how you do it. It's a process. And by releasing the past and healing, you know, the wounds and traumas and focusing on love and joy and bliss and doing your meditation, your prayer work, whatever, it doesn't matter who you want to connect to. You know, you can connect to Jesus, Buddha, I don't care, Kuan Yin, Mary, you know, whoever you want to connect to. But I would say connect to the God within yourself. Because all the masters point to the temples within. So, you know, become your own goddess, your own God, and become one with that. And that's what they all taught, you know. Atonement is at one-ment. That's the bottom line. And not to go biblical on you, but Jesus said something very interesting. One of his prayers was, he said, "Beloved Father, let them become one as we are one." So why would he say that prayer if it's not possible? So what he did is he became one with the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness on all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse. And how did he do that? You know, he said the temple is within. He went within and connected to that, his own inner God, which expanded him out to the rest of the universe. So again, it's very important right now to go within, start doing the internal thing, start letting go of all the external nonsense going on, and shift from reactionary mind, where you're reacting to everything going on, into creationary mind, where you're creating your tomorrow, and by focusing and visualizing and things of that nature. So I think on that note, I'll turn over to Winston and see if he has anything else to comment on that.
No, I think you did a good job there, but I do see that some of the folks here perhaps have a few questions and whatnot. And I think you have one report of an interesting event that happened here the last day or so.
Yeah, let's bring, yeah.
Maybe you can introduce that.
Yeah, let's bring Levi up. Levi, can you come up? Hopefully the mic's on. Let me switch the mic. Now, Levi is he's my number one here, and he's 13 years old. He's been doing some amazing help here. He's like a godsend to Yosetti. But he's had some pretty incredible experiences, everything from UFOs to nature spirits to Bigfoot. But he had quite an amazing experience last night, so we wanted to bring Levi in to just talk about one of his experiences.
Yeah, I usually just like ask, because I sleep outside, and it's really cool, but I usually just ask the beloved beings to wake me up if there's anything interesting. And I've always seen like heart clouds and like a lot of ships waking up. And last night I woke up at 2 o'clock. Don't tell my mom. But I just want to say before I tell my story, but there's like a lot of amazing ships, and I think you just have to see it before, you know, the shift happens, because it's just tuning in and being one with yourself and being with all the world beings and just being around people, you know?
Yeah, you saw something last night. Yeah, we wanted you to talk about that.
Well, I saw Bigfoot, and I woke up at 2 o'clock, and I was, like, hearing, the first thing I heard was grunts, and it was, like, it sounded like a cow, but there's no cows in, like, the middle of the ranch, so I was, like, okay, well, it's Bigfoot. And right by James's ear, there's wind chimes, and there's something hitting the wind chimes, and it wasn't wind, because there is absolutely no wind out at night at 2 o'clock. And I just didn't feel like, I just raised my hand, there's no wind. And I like saw something, it was huge, like at least 7 feet tall, and it was like massive. And I was getting my flashlight, but I was just like sitting there like, what? Like, are you serious now? And I was gonna grab my flashlight, and I did. And I was gonna shine it, and you're really not supposed to do that, but I wanted to get a clear look. And then the batteries were taking out, and I was like, what, you know? And, actually, before the show, I was looking to see where the batteries were, and they were like far away from like my chair. And it was like, oh my gosh, he took them out with my flashlight. And I was like, he took like everything out, like the batteries, there's 3 batteries. He took like even the black part out. It was weird, but it's pretty cool.
But, that's good.
Yeah. It was just,
so he was pretty big, I guess. And then I think it was funny, too, is I'm laying there in bed, and I hear, James, 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 like this. And I'm laying in bed, and I'm going, oh, man, they're here again. You know, spirits talking to me. A lot of times I hear my name, and I go, what? And then I don't hear anything else after that. But I go, wait a second. That's not in here. That's coming from outside.
Yeah,
so I got up and went out. So we went looking for Bigfoot. Didn't find him, but he's pretty elusive. You know, there's an old saying that if you go searching for Bigfoot, you'll never find him. But if Bigfoot wants to, he'll find you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And I was asking him if you're pranking James, because he was hitting the wind chimes, and he was like hiding in the corner. It's kind of funny. He's like looking up at the window trying to wake you up, and you did wake up.
Yeah.
Funny,
he knocks on the wall about.
Yeah. He was like at the wall. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, because it's a 2-story house I'm in, where I'm at, and I hear knocking right by my head, and it's like 9 feet up or 10 feet up, and the guy's knocking right where my head is. And that happens almost every night. It's like crazy. Like, okay, yeah, real funny, you know. Yeah. I get up and I come out, and there's nobody there, you know.
Yeah, I just want to say, if you guys like ever meet these beings, or if like kids are listening, I don't know. But if you go out and search, like, don't be scared, because they're kind of like us, but they're a lot nicer, trusting, loving, and they're like a lot of good energy. So don't be scared to go out. You know?
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing your story.
Yeah,
Clyde Lewis had one run. He was with Ground Zero Radio, and he had one run right up to him and skid and say hi and turn around and run back the other way, and turned him upside down for a little while, but he finally went out and talked about it. But a lot of sightings here. They're very sensitive beings, and very evolved in nature. They're just not evolved technologically like we are. But they're very sensitive, very telepathic, and they can shift back and forth between worlds. So I've seen it with my own eyes happen many times here. So let's open up. If anybody else have any questions they want to come up and anything about the future, where the currency is going, where we're going? Nobody?
Thank you, and go to
ESET.com. All right. Yeah. I probably should that. We, you know, if you want to find out more about the ranch, go to privateinvitationeseti.com, and that's where a lot of the workshops. We're doing the Winston Sprout workshop right now, and we've got the Laura Eisenhower workshop and Tashina. She's a medicine woman, and she's lived on the Hopi Reservation for quite some time. We have a lot of amazing workshops coming up, so be sure and come up and check out the upcoming workshops at the ranch. Oh, welcome to the show.
Okay. All right, since nobody else is coming up, I guess I'll be the first one getting
up. All right.
So as we progress from this old world to this new world into higher dimensions, what do you see as suggestions for everyone to do that shift, to become a little bit more spiritually themselves and moving forward? Also, there obviously are naysayers out there and everyone else. You know, what suggestions would you have to enlighten them, or even not enlighten them, moving forward?
All right, so I'll answer the second question first. A lot of people come up to me and they'll just say, you know, this is all nonsense. This is all, you know, overactive imagination. What kind of drugs are you, smoking up there? And a lot of times I said, well, you know, thank you for your open display of ignorance and establishing your character, but have a nice day. And I go, what's that? And they'll look and I just walk away, you know. So it's really important. You can't instill want to another person. And a lot of people don't want to open up to new realities or experience these other dimensional aspects. Even scientists, they demand third dimensional proof for non-physical events that are happening, which are happening in the fourth, fifth, and sixth, and seventh, all the way up to the 11th dimension. They know there's 11 dimensions out there, but they want everybody to prove to them that this is real by using third dimensional constructs, which is a form of insanity itself. I mean, it's not science. But I think it's quite interesting. The second one, I think it's really important to establish a daily practice of meditation, find a process-oriented therapy that works. You know, there's a lot of different ones out there. We do transpersonal release sessions that are very powerful, and they heal things very quickly and gracefully. There's get out in nature as much as you can. You know, find balance in your life. And it's also, balance means not being all left brain, being right brain too, because we have an objective, subjective side to us, and we need to find that balance between ourselves. If you're always objective, you'll be clueless to all the other things happening around you. And if you're always subjective, you're going to get beat up by all the things happening around you in all the other dimensions. So it's good to find that balance and how to work between the two. So when you start feeling negative energy coming at you, you shift from being subjective to being objective, and you send energy to it. You call on the higher dimensions, your higher self, whatever, and you start sending energy to that whatever you're dealing with, and it clears energy out. And we also teach people how to do that here. It's on the back of my cards, my business cards actually has the technique to do that, to heal unseen negative influences. And if anybody emails us, we can shoot them on the email on exactly how to do that. It's in the books, Reunion with Source and Becoming Gods, and I think it's in the new one, the Anunnaki Return book as well. It teaches all about these energies and how to deal with them. Winston, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, let me. We don't have much time, so let me tell this story very quickly. A friend of mine, who's a natural healer, a former MD, converted to the right way. Anyway, very spiritual person, uses all these practices and so forth in his healing techniques. In any event, for whatever reason, he was seeking out certain answers. He had a vision, because he thought that if he could get into visit with the people at Telos, there at Mount Shasta, that they perhaps might, he might gain something from that. So anyway, he had this dream or vision that the entrance that he was seeking to go into the city of Telos was at a certain place, which was at the headwaters of the Sacramento River. So anyway, so he goes to Shasta. There was some kind of conference going on, I think, that some of his family were participating in. So he went along because he was on this quest. And so anyway, he goes into the city of Shasta and finds there's a city park there that claims to be the headwaters of the river. He looks around and said, no, this can't be right. This is the city. And so he's kind of confused. So anyway, he notices an old kind of a homeless guy, you know, wandering around there in the area. So he thought, well, I'll talk to this guy. Maybe he knows something. So he put the question to him. And so the homeless guy said, no. He said, no, the headwaters of the river are actually up above Panther Meadows. And so he told him how to get up there and all this kind of thing. And so he did. He went up there and got to exploring around a bit. And then he did find the exact location that he had seen in this dream vision. So he sat down and commenced to meditate to see if he could, get some information, or perhaps somebody would come out and talk to him or something like that. And then nothing happened. So he was kind of confused a bit. And so he went back. And so the next morning when he got up, he was going to go for a jog or maybe do some walk, get some, exercise and whatnot. And he said, and a lady came out, and it seemed like she had come out of the same house where he was staying at. He wasn't sure about that. But anyway, she said, she came out and talked to him and said, look, she said, I have a message for you. She said, yes, you can go into Telos if you choose to do so. But if you go in, you won't be allowed to come back out. She said, that would be your choice. And she said, I'm one of the ones that went in, and so I've come back out to deliver this message. So he was really astounded by that. And so something happened. He looked away. He looked back, of course, as you might guess, the lady was gone. So he's thinking about this. In any event, in consequence of this, somewhere along the line, he realized that the old homeless guy that he was talking to was actually Saint Germain dressed up like that. He does that kind of thing all the time. Many of you all know, about Germain, the things he does. In any event, Germain did reveal to him certain things that would be helpful and instrumental to people in this quest to raise their vibrations. And one of them is a particular affirmation that can be done, that needs to be repeated 144 times. And at the point, each time that you have actually gone through this affirmation 12 times, it'll jack your frequency up to the next level. And so with the completion of 12 moves up the frequency level. And the reason I'm telling you this story is because I did it. And now when I go to the airport, the metal detectors go off for no good reason because I have no metal. I've changed my frequency, and the metal detectors find that. There you go.
All right. Sorry. Thank you. Yeah, I had a very similar experience up there on the mountain where I had a woman all dressed in white, very tall, beautiful woman, long hair, looked like blonde or white hair. And she walked up to the group that I was up there with, and I was up meditating with another person doing my own little vision quest. We saw this woman walking around down there, walked right up to our group, stood there, held her hands out, blessed the group, and then walked behind this rock and disappeared. And so I came running down the mountain, keeping my eyes on this rock to see if this woman's going to come out. And she never did. She just vanished, So, and nobody ever saw her. The rest of the group never even saw her, So I thought that was quite interesting. So they are up there, and they are pretty elusive, and they can choose whether you see them or not.
Let me interject real quickly that I have a copy of that affirmation on my computer. Anybody that would like to have that, certainly I'll send it to you. If you just go send a request to our email there at WISIC, then I'll get that right out to you. Very effective.
What's the email?
Well, just go on to our website, you know, WSSIC.com, and respond to the email and send me a request, and I'll get it right out to you.
Great. Awesome. Yeah, we're out of time right now. Unfortunately, we're hitting the end of the hour, so I wish we could have gotten a few more questions, but we only have an hour show, unfortunately. But the only thing I can say right now is there are going to be some huge changes coming up. We got to, you know, pay attention to these changes, learn to flow with these changes, and you know, become, you know, rather than, you know, be in reactionary mind, react to all this nonsense, get into creation in your mind and start creating the world in which you want to experience, and start moving in that direction. And I think that's where we're all here in this room. So I can't thank enough everybody for listening. Have a great evening, and watch the skies, stay in the heart, and create your tomorrow. Good night.